Hey everybody, this is Mel and Brooke from Mom's Art 2. Okay, before we start the episode, stop listening right now and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you want to watch us make a fool of ourselves, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Mom's Art 2 and get video episodes each week.
All right, on to the show.
We are just two moms in search of inspiration
while creating questionable comedy.
Mom's Art 2.
Silly. What? Silly. What?
Hi, Brooklyn.
Mel, look at us.
Oh my gosh.
It's the beginning of March, everybody.
Don't raise a roof. I should not raise a roof.
You don't raise it. Just raise that roof.
Look at this.
Backdrop.
That's our new little backdrop.
Just forget about the lines.
We have to iron it out a little bit, which, you know, we get it. But how do you know we're not on stage?
You don't.
You don't.
And now if we get rid of the lines, you really won't.
You really won't. And if you were on Patreon, you would see what we were talking about. So go over to Patreon.com/MomsAren'tDoom. We're going to talk about the side of the mouth. Where there is... No, we're not.
Whoa.
We cannot talk about... She's a... We're going to... Shiver. No. No more of that jazz. Brooklyn Sample, we read a book.
What? Well, I listened to a book.
I listened to a book, too.
Okay, good.
Don't fuck that noise. No. Bye.
We don't have time.
No.
But that's why we love Audible. I had to add the S because Cameron...
You know it's Audible.
I know, but I'm that lady now. I'm to that point. Like, I might as well move on to the interwebs because I call it Audibles. And every time I say it, you brought it up. And then even Uncle Cam, he was like, Audibles. Brooke, is it in plural?
Or when I listen to the Audibles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But now I've embraced it and I don't give a fuck.
I'm glad you have. No, it's
Speaking
fine.
Speaking of not giving fucks.
Oh, not giving a fuck. We read a book and it is called Brooklyn.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. It, you know, especially 2022. I had a lot of not giving a fucks.
You did.
And I had a lot of like not caring and not caring if I failed or not caring if I really, you know, pissed people off who weren't on my wavelength and not in a negative way, but just I need to do the work.
Though. Yeah.
And I was just being honest. And if it, and if it made them upset because I was being honest, that's their problem. It's not my problem. This book touches on a lot of that, and I felt really validated.
Well, and I think that it helps, because I thought about you last year, too, and I kept thinking, like, this is genuinely what Brooke was saying to me over and over and over, and I believed you, and I trusted you, of course, but listening then to this book, I was like, she was fucking already there.
But you helped me to, like, pull me out of the gunk. Like I knew that there was, I was kind of stuck in like a mud and even though I was like, but I gotta, and it goes back to old ways of thinking, right? Because I'm like, I committed.
There is a huge clearing going on right now. Well, no, but there, I genuinely feel like there's a huge clearing going on right now with everything that's in the blah, blah, blah in the universe, whatever. But it is I feel like we're like noticing things and seeing things. There's a shift, but it also might be because we are doing the podcast and we're like actually talking about this shit out loud on a regular basis that we're
following. But I'll be honest with you, we did a lot of work like last October and November where we cleared a lot of shit and made room. And so, and whether we knew what we were making room for or not, I think sometimes we think we're making room for something. And then it was really where the universe was like, no, you were making room for this.
Yeah.
And so we will discuss, but I this month, and you will find out some things, some of the other projects that we have been touting as of past months. There are some shifts in that. You're going to hear about that this month as well. And this book helped to
understand that they are not failures.
Yeah, and help to like know that it's okay.
And clarify the reason you're doing it is because of blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As my grandma would say.
Are you ready?
Warsh. Warsh. Get that.
Are you ready to get into the episode?
Let's get into our episode. Woo! Sally.
Hi, Brooke.
Mel, we read a book. We listened to a book, and we're going to talk about it here on this episode.
We are. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good.
We listened and read. Mostly, we just listened. But
no,
I didn't read it.
I listened on like speed, too, because you did. Picked this book kind of late in the game.
We did, because we were particular. We really wanted to have something that we were trying to figure out what's going on with our lives, right? We have a lot of shifts going on, and we couldn't figure out what book was going to help us in that moment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the books about clearing ended up being about weird death and ghosts,
or like how to change in your life. Like then the changes in your life. I'm like, no,
that's not what this is.
So this book I felt like really
hit it on the head.
100%. Yeah. So we'll just like catch you up on a few things. We've really went in hard on we're doing Fringe and writing this thing and you're gonna follow us on the journey. Well, you're not. Okay. Because life happens and Fringe is not a part of that right now.
But that's only because we have had big, huge shifts in our lives and mm-hmm. openings and clearings where this book does really, really, really get into these things and not, I would never say accepting them, but also
accepting the journey, yes. Like actually being okay with the journey and the failures, quote unquote, or the like just the changes and being okay with the changes and learning how to find joy and coming out of that.
Well,
right?
And you know what? I feel like Fringe, we can do whenever we want. We have a show, but when we don't have space for it, and it has nothing to do with us not wanting to do it or us not being ready.
I just
want to
be a part of that community. I just want to meet people.
Which we can still do that.
100%.
Because we can still go to all the shows and, we can. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we thought that by putting something up at this year's Fringe was going to propel us in a certain way, not realizing that we have apparently other plans. And the other plans are that there are more important things going on and bigger things that will propel us that we didn't necessarily count on being as big as and important as we thought they were.
They were like, it moved everything to the front of the line as far as our productivity. And Fringe kind of got pushed to the back. However, I feel like, you know, I had a lot of guilt around that.
Yeah.
Because we had already pulled a lot of people in. And so it was hard for me to make that decision. It was hard, but at the same time,
it felt freeing.
I didn't give a fuck.
I know you didn't give a fuck.
So this book was like, but then I had guilt because I kind of didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because I was concerned about the way it was going to impact others, not how it was actually affecting me.
But they're still
me.
Going with us. They're still like, we're never going to get rid of the people that we really, really want to be around in our community that we're going to take with us wherever we go. Right. Yeah. And they have, that might also open up other things for them. Like there was even one of the guys that was going to be in the show was talking about how he's going to balance. He's doing the show and he's really excited about it and da 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 da. And we were going to make it work, of course, for his schedule because we care about what he has planned too. But we had to move Fringe to the back of the line because things started moving faster and more furious in other ways. And so like with the podcast. And with a feature film that we're doing and a couple of other things and life and being proud of certain things that are going on in our lives and the space that we're making for all of these things that are making us genuinely happy.
And that we're enjoying the process.
Yeah.
So the book that we read was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson.
Which was hard for me because I have a lot of guilt about everything, always.
And I think some of the core takeaways are
don't give a fuck.
Don't give a fuck about things that are not your values. So you have to decide what your values are. Those values cannot be connected to how other people feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't create a value for yourself
that's predicted on how someone else will make it happen.
Be in control.
Yeah.
It's about how you're in control of the situation. For example, if you say, when I'm around other people, I just want to make them feel good and I want them to feel okay. Instead, because that's predictive upon how they feel.
Right.
Not you.
You don't have control over that shit.
Right. And
that's
so,
my problem.
Well, mm-hmm. So you shift that to saying, I'm going to be better in social situations.
Right.
Because that's something you can control. And then there's no cap. Right. And then you're not a failure if those other people's feelings get in the way.
Don't
right?
let other people predict what your problems will be. When you are in control of your own problems or when you're in control of your own values. Right? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be creative. I'm going to have humility. These are things that we can do. Bad values would be, I'm always going to be right. I'm going to make people happy. I'm going to be the most popular person in the room. None of that is based upon anything you have control over. So fucking throw it in the trash.
Right.
Because you don't have control over it. What the fuck is it? What's the point?
And so when you simplify your values and you simplify mm-hmm. who you identify with, mm-hmm. right? I'm mm-hmm. not this complex creative that no one understands. Because you're always going to be let down because no one can ever meet that.
But yeah.
You're just
yeah.
a creative, period, right? So how do you feel like that these points of effect, like you can
okay,
look
so-
at it in your life and say, oh,
well, honestly, I feel like when it has to do with things with auditioning, I go into the room, I'm excited about the drive there, I'm excited about the prep, I'm excited about meeting new people, and then I get in the room and it's then not up to me anymore. I do the work and then it's not up to me anymore. And I think that's where with my acting, I've really had a problem with you either enjoy that process, which is great, and you're willing to let that go, or I feel happier when we're doing the podcast because I'm doing the work, I'm doing the research, I'm working with you, you and I are putting the effort, and then I'm learning all these things with tech or whatever that are fucking hard, and I cry, and it
she cries.
It's I real. Do. But it's hard, but I'm in control of the problem. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of when you're an actor and you're not booking or you are booking or you're on set and you're getting weird direction that you didn't know was coming or whatever it is, it's you're never in control in that way anymore. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's where in my life I'm having a hard time with. So this...
I think that's why we've even moved on into directing as well. And mm-hmm. and not just to say, oh, we've got control over it, but because we also have that overall... beginning like pre-production vision into conception,
yeah.
right? And but it's ours, and it's not. You know, we may work collaboratively where we're you know enjoying the process again with
yeah.
with you know.
But don't
other
you
creatives.
Think that that's kind of like what we also want to do? We are so sensitive to people that I'm not saying we're like good people or anything because we're fucking.
Actually,
not.
We are good people.
You're
we
right.
We are good
we
people.
We fucking are, Brooke.
We are good people.
And when we're directing, one of the things that we try to do is make sure people feel like they have control of their problems, mm-hmm. right? They're never put in a situation. Our actors, I feel, at least we try to, we never put them in a situation where they feel like they're out of control. They're making the decision to go further, to break out of their own freedoms.
Well, we're also trusting them. You hire them to be play these roles and to bring something to these characters, and you're trusting them to make the choices. Now you can guide them and give them options,
but we also make that very clear. We
yeah.
from the beginning, you are here for a reason.
Right.
We coddle in a way. We coddle our actors because we want because we understand what it's like on the other fucking side.
Yeah.
To be ignored and to not know. But as like, and maybe that's the thing, is like even when I'm on stage, I like being vulnerable. We just watched Keep Me.
Oh my gosh.
Right? We did a show in Panama and we watched it the other day. Thank you, Giancarlo. for sending it, and it was like not great or whatever, but I liked the vulnerability in it though. Like there were things that each of us did in the show that I was like, that was good.
Yeah.
Not all of it. We didn't have eyes on it either. We didn't have a director. No, it was directing us. Right.
Yeah.
So, but there were and so many things.
And also it was like 12 years ago. So yeah. I'm like looking at it going, oh my God, there's so many beats that of needed course, to land.
Of course. Like when you're directing and acting in your own show, it's very difficult. But I liked that. I know how I felt on that stage.
Yeah.
And I liked feeling vulnerable, but it was also because it was ours.
That's true.
And it was our problem. Mm-hmm. We can make it as good as we can make it. It isn't up to other people. And I know that sounds shitty and like, oh, you can't be directed or whatever, but that's a whole different fucking podcast.
No, we can be directed. We just did, we did shows with people, not even like full shows, but even like two-nighters and things where we were, look, it wouldn't have been our choice as directors, but
and that's okay.
It wasn't our direction. Show. And it wasn't right. our show. And we were there to facilitate and we knew our role.
Right.
And we didn't, we did, you know, we came and brought what we brought and then we let the director tell us. So we're totally
getting
valuable in that way. Yeah. Who, us?
What? But this book, I will tell you what, one of the things that really did stick with me is two things. Can I tell you the two things?
No.
Okay, bye. No. Two things. One was the you are in charge of your own problems. If you are in charge of your own problems, you are going to be much happier in your life. You are going to going on the ice. I bought Brooke an ice machine for her birthday
office.
And it's
so
in
we
here.
Didn't have to walk out to the bar.
And you know what's going to happen? Y'all are going to just have to get used to it. So Rob,
if you hear the ice machine. Just to let it be. Just subtly don't give a fuck.
It is what it okay? is. Have you ever realized in a moment of boredom that you need to have a new furry comforter right now? Well, I have. And that's why I love and I'm so grateful for Wish.com. They have everything. From kids' clothes and face masks to hair extensions and Jeep Wrangler accessories. They have vampire teeth, string lights, and plant seeds. I was skeptical at first, but when I found my much-needed outdoor shower bath tent and women's travel urinal, I was sold. Just make sure to look at the reviews with photos before you buy. Wish items may take no less than 48 days to arrive at you or your neighbor's door. Ugh, I love Wish.com. But my two things are the problems thing, where it's like if it's your problem, then if you're in control of your own problems. But the second thing was the Picasso story.
Love it.
And I think I've heard this before. I feel like Danielle Chitwood Fabrega.
I've heard this before.
Yeah,
as well.
I feel like she said it to us before. She said it to me before. Where, so Picasso was at a restaurant doodling, as one would do, on a napkin with coffee stains or whatever. And this woman came up to him and said, oh my God, he was leaving it. He was done. He was leaving his table and he was crumpling it up and throwing it in the garbage. And she came up to him and was like, oh my God, can I have that?
And he was like, I'll even pay you for it.
Yeah, I'll even pay you for it. Oh, right, bitch. And he was like, okay, it's $20,000. And she was like, wait, why? You just worked on that for like 2 minutes. And he said, I've been working on this for 30 years or whatever it was.
60, yeah. 60
for 60 years.
I think he was in his 90s or something. Yeah.
So, bitch, no. So like that is goes along with our old stuff about the process and the 1% and the 10,000 steps and all that stuff. But it's also the failing forward. Like this now, first of all, he knows his worth.
Right.
Which I fucking love.
Yeah.
Right? Know your worth. But he's been working on this and making mistakes and failing forward and doing things that he wasn't proud of, works not sleeping with women and whatever. Like,
well, we don't know.
He might have been proud of that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to.
You don't want to talk about, you don't want to speculate on Picasso's.
I'm trying to have visuals and I don't know if I want that.
No, because I'm only picturing him as 90.
Exactly.
And so wrinkly, pee-pee.
And based off of his, some of his sketches, like.
It was like wonky. You know, was, it was probably like, yeah, sideways.
Skewed, totally.
What if he was painting how he saw exactly. things, like his own form? What if underneath he had like 9 nipples?
I hope so.
Me too.
I really hope he had 9 nipples and they're like pointy.
But weird pointy, like off right. to different sides, not like the same
pointy. They're
all
looking in different yeah. directions.
Like walleye. He has like walleyes.
Much like his paintings. I just went and saw Picasso painting that they were doing anyway, like over at Norton Simon here in Pasadena, and it was boobs.
But what if he like really saw people like that? Like when I was in Chicago, you know how doctors know no shit, right? And then we keep going to doctors and they tell us things and we're like, okay, but that doesn't make sense. Like I had then Melissa knows everything. But when I was in Chicago, I had this doctor, this eye doctor, I was going to get glasses for like the first time. And he told me that my coloring in my eye was flaking off. And it was floating. I don't fucking know. But it was floating around the inside of my eye, which was what my eyesight problem was, and which is why I couldn't get contacts. And I left that. I took a bus down there on the south side or wherever I went, an hour. And then I took the bus home without glasses. And
thank God you got home.
I mean, right? Well. Yeah.
Your eye color flakes.
But I told people this. Like, oh. They would be like, how is your eye doctor? And I was like, I guess I have, like, flakes going on in my eyes. And I guess that's just why I can't get glasses. So that's what I'm saying is, like.
And people did exactly what I just did to you. I shook my
right?
head.
Right?
No.
I remember, like, repeating.
And as you repeated it, were you like, that's stupid.
No, because it was a doctor.
Because you believed it.
I did. Do you know I'm really gullible though too? Like there were times in and I'll tell you, maybe we tell this story tomorrow when we interview Mark Rose. Because there is I'll tell it now because I don't know if Mark, whatever. So Mark Rose is gonna be on the show in a few weeks and he's our industry person. You'll hear about him. So I was working at the Improv in Chicago or in Cleveland. And I was saying like, oh, Mark was on the schedule like once, twice a month, right, for a week. And he was a middle at the time. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I was looking at the schedule and I was like, Mark isn't on the schedule. That's weird. And our friend, Craig Peters, who loves to lie and thinks it's hilarious, said to me, oh my God, Mel. Now, by the way, his girlfriend was sitting in the front seat and she's a friend of mine and worked at the Improv as well, and she just went along with him because she knows what funny is. And he's like, oh my God, Mel, you didn't hear? And I was like, what? And he was like, well, Mark isn't invited back anymore. I'm like, what? That's crazy. Why? And he was like, well, because he was in Boise and he took a shit on stage. And I was like, what? No. And he was like, yeah, he took a fucking dump on stage and he walked off. And so he's not allowed on stage anymore. I mean, and the thing is, when you work in a comedy clubs, there are people that can get pushed to a limit. Not necessarily to like take
to
a shit on
stage.
No, I don't know.
Is
I
that
was gonna like
be
20.
In his next book?
Maybe.
Hey.
Oh, future. No, but it was, but I believed it. And then so when Mark was coming back in town.
You were like, Mark, what have you done?
No, I said, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're here. No. I was talking to Mario, who is the manager at the time. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad Mark is. I see him back on the schedule. And he was like, why? And I was like, well, because he took his shit on stage. Because we were all in this, like, the Booker.
In Boise.
It could have been Omaha. Who knows? But, and Mario was like, what? And I was like, yeah, Mark took a shit on stage. You know, I guess that's, Sarah doesn't care, of course, because, you know, she was the booker. Of course, she loves him and we all love him. So, of course, she's going to get over it. And he was like, what? And he was the manager, like handling, taking over for Sarah and I, who was doing the bookings and stuff. And it was like a big deal. And because I fucking repeated it, it was a big deal. And then I don't know. I don't think anything so ever happened to Mark.
Did they have to look into it? Like, did Mark?
I'm sure somebody just asked Mark. And then he was like, no, Craig Peters just told Mel that and she's a fucking naive. And everybody was like, oh, right, right, right. Mel just fucking believes anything.
So you believed that your coloring of your eyes were flaking and that's why you can't have contacts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did that have to do with
that? I'm saying my naivety in that aspect of like doctors and stuff is I don't have a point right now. Let's get back to the book. No, there was a point, but I don't remember. So, but that's the book. Let's get back to the book.
So you had your points. Pertaining to
Picasso,
your values and your doctors.
Yes, Picasso. Maybe he had flaky eyes, and that's how he saw the world.
Oh,
do you like how I circled that?
I like that. Okay.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Tell me your points. What were your points from the book?
So, like relevant to my life right now, and why I felt like this book was important. I think I kind of touched upon it with the fringe aspect and feeling okay with prioritizing what my values are.
Yeah.
Right now, I have to put value into this podcast. It's our weekly job. This is our job.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like at the forefront, right? Yeah. Outside of like, you know, on top of family stuff.
Yeah.
And the changes that are coming into our life for that.
Yeah.
Also, like some of the other, like the production stuff that we have going on. So that's kind of where I'm placing my values because I know I have control over that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I did have to like kind of shed that guilt a little bit about, like I said, I kind of didn't give a fuck, but then I cared because we had people invested, but everybody's okay. Yeah. And it's not the end of it. We've just postponed when those kind of theatrical ventures can occur. Another thing that I found that I thought was really funny that I had to kind of check myself on.
Ooh, tell.
Is, you know, me, I'm like all into like new age metaphysics.
Yeah.
I can get into the crystals and I can get into the angels and I can get on all that shit. While I'm still gonna, I enjoy that process.
Yeah.
Of like just learning because there's, obviously I have a connection to what that is.
Yeah.
I think it's twofold. So I'm not to the extreme where he talks about some people continue searching and searching in those areas. And then you're always going to not feel good about where you are right now because you don't feel like you're happy or you're not complete or I have to find it. So you're constantly searching.
Right.
I am not to that point where that's all that I believe. And so there's nothing else. Right. I know that I have much more to learn. I just happen to gravitate towards that aspect of spirituality because that's just what I connect with.
Yeah.
I enjoy that process.
Yeah.
I have to laugh because he was talking about like some girl that he was in a relationship with and that she was all like spent. She was like a lawyer, went to like a high, you know, whatever, Ivy League school and super intelligent girl, but she ended up quitting all of that, spending all of her money into like going to gurus and all these like workshops about metaphysics and angels and crystals. And she said that she tapped and healed her cat's like gallstones or something. And he was like, yeah, fucking right. And I wanted to say, but I actually...
but I actually
so because I believe in that stuff,
right?
Am I a freak about it and spend thousands of dollars going to like workshops and doing else? No.
Close.
I enjoy the process.
No.
Exactly. I'm teetering, but not to the point. But I had to laugh because I actually when I was really into my crystals and crystal healing, we lived in Panama, and my cat at the time, which I people who are cat people, that's great. I love you. I will never have a fucking cat again in my life.
Yeah.
I had those two cats because I rescued them.
Yeah.
And I felt obligated to take care of them, and I'd never had cats before.
Yeah.
And then after those cats, I will never have cat again. I'm just not a cat person. However, I am an empathetic.
Yes, of course.
I love animals. I'm going to take care of them. In the process, like when we moved to Panama, one of my cats like wouldn't move. Like he couldn't go up the stairs. He was sick. Like something was wrong. And I like had been reading books about like healing through crystals. I was So I was trying to implement what I had learned. Mm-hmm. That cat, after I did that, I swear to God, the cat was totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I also, exactly. Everybody I laughed at myself.
I have flakes in my eyes.
Well, it's funny because when I told my husband that, my husband was like, you don't have to tell people that. Like, I wouldn't go around like I'm saying it on the podcast out to all of our listeners, but he was like, you don't need to tell people that.
Yeah.
Like, let's just keep that between us.
Yeah.
He believed me, but at the same time, he also knows that I'm half kooky. It's fine. Right. But I also did it. I've done some energy clearings. Anyway, I got a big kick out of that because I'm like, yes, of course, people think.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then another aspect was just knowing that that's not all. Like, I don't have to keep searching in that direction to feel whole.
Yeah.
One of the things he talks about it is when you're constantly looking for finding wholeness, or you're reading all of the books, or you're looking into this and you want to be better, and like you're always wanting to be better. If you don't just like say, yeah, I'm fucked and I'm okay with that right now. Like, not okay. What am I going to do about it? But it's okay
to be in this space.
To be in that space.
And you know what's funny?
Because you're never going, that means you're not happy right now. If you can't say I'm not going to be happy until I figure that out.
Yeah.
You're never going to be happy right now. And I think that, again, that goes back to like Eckhart Tolle, like being in the now.
Yeah.
And just being okay with that. And it's okay to like search and to read the books and to find inspiration and to do that. But don't, you know, and when it comes to spirituality, I always believe in saying, you know, because I used to go to church and was like, you know, really into the Christian belief system, which I love me some Jesus. My thing is I never wanted to put God in a box. And I think that much to his point with that girl where she made that everything.
Right.
And if it wasn't that, then it's nothing.
That's always been my fear with the crystals and the whatever. I've always worried about making it everything. And maybe because I grew up that way, that Jesus and God and Catholicism was everything. It was my belief system, right? And so I feel like much with acting, I want to just build my toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so, even when it, like I'm okay not feeling comfortable with crystals in my house. They might work. They might be beautiful. They might help me right now. And that might come. But I, for some reason right now, I'm not connecting in that way. And so reading then this book made me feel like this right now is what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And so this is going to go into my toolbox. And my evolution, that was the other thing too, is your evolution is always changing because you're always failing and learning, and you're never going to know everything. And so because you were younger and thought, I'm going to be this and I know this and whatever, doesn't mean that you're a failure because you're not that thing. It means that you evolved through learning, through your experiences, through visiting other countries, through friends that you've had or whatever, that you've been open to learning and you're not always right. And that is one of the hardest things for some people, not necessarily us, but because we always assume we're always wrong. But for some people to not always be right, then you're never learning and then you're not evolving. And you're not really listening.
And I think it goes
back,
like, not putting anything in a box and saying that that's the utmost all, right? Yeah. And that's why I think that's where you can kind of have those subtles not giving a fuck. It's like I can enjoy the process of learning about those things and implementing them and seeing if they work. I can also, that's what it is. Like, so I think too, when you get rid of those things that you identify yourself with,
yeah.
And they even talk about that, like you, much to your point,
I
like,
am a bleh. I right. do.
It
I
can
feel
be painful yeah. to realize when you're trying to change and evolve that that is not who you are. Because
yes.
those are things
stamps
that
you've
told
put
yourself.
On yourself. Yes.
Yeah. I just thought that was really cool. I had to laugh because I was like,
that is really funny.
You know,
especially the gallstones. Like,
the
come
cat
on.
And like,
how specific.
And the fact that he was like, hey, get the fuck out of here. Like in the book, like when she said, like, healed her cat. He was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. I was like, ah, you dumb bitch.
Oh, that's me, Mir.
I know.
Yeah.
But I can laugh at myself.
Of course.
So, yeah.
I had a mirror moment too when they were talking about some of the bad things that you can say to yourself. Bad mm-hmm. habits would be that you are positive about everything.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God,
like,
yeah.
fucking, that is me. Like, I need to work on that. Like, your dog has cancer. Well, at least you won't have to buy food anymore.
Well, it wasn't the dog.
Oh, what
it was
it?
Your kid.
Oh, it was
oh
your kid.
My kid died of brain cancer.
Oh, right.
I guess I won't be having to pay for college.
Right.
He was like, no, we don't have to be that positive
right.
all the
and
time.
And that was what Jessica.
That's horrible. I'm really sorry for anybody that's had. I have no.
We're not making fun of it. That's what I'm
no,
saying.
No, because I have friends that have dealt with childhood
no,
cancer.
No, 100%.
And like, that's not the. It
it's
was
what
just,
he's saying in the book is you cannot. Things are allowed to be shit.
Yes.
And you're allowed to be suffering and you're allowed to think that things are shit. And sometimes you're allowed to live in that and then you can pull yourself out of it.
But it's how you actually how
it's
you
part
grow
of the
is
process.
How you deal with the pain.
Right.
Like how now. The pain is like actually you should look at it and go, I'm feeling the pain right now. I think Cameron touched upon that when he talked
yeah.
about his grief and he was like, you know what? I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this.
And he wasn't allowed to because of how he was taught to just sort of put it on the back burner and whatever that he actually was able to.
But the growth that he had coming out of that
was because he actually looked at it.
He didn't like continue like drinking through it or
right.
going out through it and like trying to process it that way. He actually felt it.
And that's probably harder than anything.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't know. I just think this book is for anybody
is.
In whatever aspect of your like situation
process.
In your life.
Yeah.
yeah. It'll help you in all things.
And it's funny and it's well
really
written
funny.
And it's well read if you're going to do the Audible and it's just
Audibles.
Easy. Audibles. And it's easy to listen to because it didn't, as much as I love Eckhart Tolle.
what do you mean?
Ding. Fucking what? No. This was something I could listen to my headphones while I was driving, walking, working. Like it felt like it was easy listening.
Easy listening.
And it wasn't all kooky. Not that I don't mind the kooky, because I like the kooky, because I like you.
Well,
and you teach me a lot of things.
But again, I can take the kooky and
yeah.
I can take this. And
yeah.
to me, both are as relevant as the other.
Yeah.
You know
I'm
what I mean?
I'm still learning the kooky side of it. I want to learn the kooky side of it. I'm very, very open to it and I'm trying. I'm not going to have fucking crystals in my house yet.
I might set some somewhere and you might not even know it.
And that's fine if
I'm
I don't know about it.
I'm going to put the energy on it and it's going to be my energy in the house.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm fine with that.
And don't put any pressure on what that's supposed to do for you.
I won't even know they're there. Why don't you do that? And I won't even know they're there. And then
I've got
we'll,
two little
I'm not, don't tell
quartz
me.
Crystals. You can't even see it.
I don't even want to know there because I don't know what quartz does and I want to Google it. And then you keep tabs on what
no,
happens.
It's not even about that. It's honestly, it's just putting good vibes in the room. That's
you
all
know, Brooke
is.
Can actually feel.
Yeah.
The vibrations from the crystals.
I'll
so bring
a,
them over.
I'll get like goosebumps. Like it's a vibration in my hand when I'm holding them.
So I believe
think,
you.
So I think to it, like that's why I'm drawn to that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can feel it.
But I'm also like earth, like
yes.
strong and earth heavy.
Yeah.
So things of the earth, the water,
yes.
the like smoke. Like that's why I burn sage and I put it in a shell and I fan it with a
yeah.
feather because I'm using all of those earth elements. Like there's I'm paganistic in that way a little.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not rolling my eyes at you. I know that you... Yeah. I'm not, though.
Look, because most people do. It's no, but fine.
Here's the thing is I... Because I don't give a have fuck. The
That's right.
Because I don't have those things in me, I really appreciate them about you. That's like sweet. I really well, that's the air and fire thing in us. Like that's you true. Feed me in that way. Like mm-hmm. I don't have those things in my being because everything has to be fucking literal or I've just
well,
see it
but
or
you help me
whatever.
Be a little more literal.
Of course.
Instead of me like flying into the stars of, yeah. like my thoughts.
Oh, that was adorable.
Isn't that great?
But see, this is why we're the best podcast ever.
And I'm glad you're listening. So I hope this book, yeah, I hope this book can help you. I would highly recommend it. We're goobers.
Yeah.
And I did have to laugh too at the LSD
oh, that
comment
was good. Yeah.
because he was like, and this was what I was taught, what he kind of referenced it when you're talking about searching in those inspiration books.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do that, but he was like, it was like that time that I took LSD and walked closer to the house, and the closer I got to the house, the further away from it I was.
It's true.
It's like I'm using LSD as a, you know,
but
like
that's
a psychological.
But that's
like
how real and honest and whatever he is in this book, which is so funny. I mean, he's just honest and
yeah,
he's funny.
He's funny, and it's real, and it's down to earth, and
I feel like you can pick it up and listen to it, and then put it down and listen to it. I mean, I didn't want to. I kind of wanted to listen to the whole thing because I was like in it.
I ran through it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we also had a deadline.
We had a deadline,
but
but it was an easy one to get through. It wasn't like some of the other ones we've read where we're like, oh my God, it's so much. I don't even know what it just said. I got to go back and listen to it. Actually, I did have to because I had it on like speed. Read. I did have to go back in like 30 seconds.
Oh, that was important.
Just so I could get my notes. So I was like, ah, la, la, la.
Oh, I do that. Yeah. Yeah. I.
And then I go, ah, la, 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 la.
You need to stop doing that.
La, la, la.
We have so many. If you guys are on Patreon, you'll see our beef curtains that we have going on here.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you said it. Now no one will ever not see these.
But that's the
red
why we have to
curtains.
Keep. We have to keep the beef curtains.
With
and
our,
the clitoris is probably up there somewhere.
Hood.
Probably up there somewhere.
Well, yeah, if you're a man.
We know where it is.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
I mean, it's up there somewhere.
7777777. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yay!
Love you. Bye. Wow. You made it through the whole episode. We really appreciate that.
And you know what else we would really appreciate? If you went to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and rate and review Moms Are Too.
It really helps us so much and lets other future listeners get an idea of what they're getting themselves into.
That's right. Moms Are Too is produced by Rob Adler with Brooklyn Frequency. Music by Kai Sample.